All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Fit Father Podcast. Thank you once again for joining. I really appreciate it. Last episode was very heartfelt, very just personal story. This episode is going to be quite the opposite. We're going to dive into some actual tactical approaches that you can take to your training. I mean, after all, this is called the Fit Father Podcast, right? So what would we, how would I be the Fit Father if I did not talk to you guys about effective training programs? So I've had a kind of a background in a few different training styles. I've tried a few different things, and I've had no success in some, and I've had a lot of success in others. And I was the skinny kid in high school. I mean, the only time I felt like I wasn't the skinniest kid was in seventh grade, and we had the lightweight football team and the heavyweight football team. And I believe the heavyweight football team, like the weight was, the cutoff was either 125 or 135. And I remember I was literally at the cutoff. And because they had so many kids in the lightweight team, well, they're like, hey, you got to go on the heavyweight team. So that was fun. I actually didn't, it wasn't too bad. I mean, the heavyweight team was not very good. The lightweight team did really well because they got pretty much all the athletes that were on our, that were in my grade. So I grew up basically being the skinny kid. I graduated high school at like 163 pounds, soaking wet. I was 6 feet tall, just skinny. So my sport was football, and I played defense, and being an undersized linebacker, it was tough. And luckily I had my speed and my athleticism to where I made up for my lack of size, but I always had this self, you know, image issue, a poor self-image issue, because I was always so skinny. And, you know, as we got older, you know, the people I was in high school with, they started developing, like they, you know, they're putting on muscle, and there just didn't seem like there's anything I could do to put on muscle. I mean, I remember one year I had a friend in my grade whose brother was 3 years older than I was. And that's when I first found out about creatine. And they're like, well, if you want to put on weight, you got to do this creatine loading. And I was, I mean, it was, I think I was in ninth grade going into 10th. Yeah, because I remember ninth grade, I was really small. And I was thinking, okay, well, 10th grade, I'm gonna hopefully be on varsity. So, but I need to gain weight if I want to get on varsity. I probably gained 15 pounds that summer. And I was like, holy shit, I'm actually gaining weight. This creatine is working. Well, literally after the first week of 2 days, I was back down to what my weight was prior to, or right at the beginning of summer. Like when I did, you know, I lost the 15 pounds is what I'm trying to say. That creatine loading was great for putting on all that water weight. And I was drinking a ton of water, but lost that pretty much right away. So needless to say, more struggles. And to be fair, like the strength and conditioning program we run wasn't really it was great for building strength. And, you know, that was the other thing is it just never really was that strong. So for me, it was like, hey, I'm not that big. I'm not that strong. Everyone else is getting stronger. I'm really not. And it wasn't until I got out of high school and when I was in college, I thought like, hey, there's just no way I'm just going to be this guy who's going to be in 160s his entire life. I'm just going to be this skinny kid my whole life. And granted, when I went to college, I got up to 195, maybe even 200. I ballooned up, boy. I went full burly boy on it. And, I won't say that was from eating all the white chicken and or all the, you know, in the white rice. There was a whole lot of drinking going on, so I packed on some non-ideal weight. But it kind of felt good to be around 190 something, and my training really didn't change, and I just wasn't training that much. So I put on basically fat, and from all the drinking, eating like shit. But one thing I did learn was that I wasn't eating enough. So in college, I was starting to eat a ton. And that got me out of the mindset of, hey, I can actually gain weight. I just need to be able to eat more. And this is not a nutrition podcast, by the way. I'm just giving you kind of a background just to build up, to build up. So, yeah, so fast forward to my sophomore year of college, and I was out of shape, and I felt like, I was like, holy shit, I went from being like this skinny kid who didn't have any fat to I'm like all fat now. I don't look muscular at all. So eventually I lost a lot of that weight. I think I got back down to like the 170s. So I felt good around 170. That was like the number that was so hard for me to get to when I was in high school. I used to be so frustrated. Like when I hit, there'd be times where I'd just tip the scale around 170, 171. And I felt like, yes. And then the next day I'd wake up and I'd be back down to like 167. Shit. So, anyways, my sophomore year of college, still had no idea what I was doing when I was working out. Back to like the 170s and drinking. And I think the only reason why I actually stayed in the 170s is because of all the drinking I was doing in college and partying and eating like shit. So I'm out of college at this, now I'm, or a few years later, I'm out of college. And I'm still training. I have the worst technique because, no offense to my high school coaches, maybe they did teach us and we weren't listening, but I'm pretty positive they had no idea how to clean either or do any squats correctly. So, you know, I'm still lifting with that shitty technique. And I hurt my back really bad, actually. Hurt my back, and it wasn't from lifting, actually. It was when I was on the job. When I was working, delivering packages for FedEx, I jacked my back up just stepping out of the van. And that was really frustrating for me because really the only thing at that time, because I wasn't doing any training, I wasn't a coach yet. You know, one of the few things I really enjoyed in life that made me feel good about me was working out. And even though I was very frustrated that I wasn't able to really make any progress. Like, I made subtle progress, but it was really not much. And looking back on it now, it was like nothing. I mean, I cannot believe I spent year after year after year after year just doing the same shit and not getting anywhere. So I hurt my back, and it was a long, long time till I was able, it was almost a full year till I was able to actually start putting weight on a bar and train. I had, I had a couple steroid or some epidural steroid injections because they felt like, oh, you have a hernia. Or they said, oh, you have a hernia disc or you have thinning in your back. Well, it turned out that I just basically have a disc that's about paper thin between my L5 S1 at this point. So it took a while to recover. And I finally found a doctor that was able to get me back. But it was just like, you're never going to lift over 300 pounds. You probably should never back squat or deadlift anymore. It's just going to put your back right back to where you were. Well, I wanted to find a program that was going to get me strong, and I was tired of trying to come up with my own shit, and I was tired of coming up with programming that was the one-offs, right? Like the bodybuilding.com. Like I was your typical program hopper. I'd bounce around from one program to another. Oh, I like this workout. Now I'm going to do this one. Had no idea at that time the importance of literally just sticking with the program. And so I wanted to find a program that was really easy to stick with, that I was able to basically see where I was at frequently. And it was going to get me to the basic lifts, benching, squatting, deadlifting, pressing overhead, those sorts of things, because that's what I wanted to do, was just build that foundational strength back. So after doing, my research online, I stumbled upon Jim Wendler's 531, and there was nothing but really good things to say about the Jim Wendler's 531. So I bought the book and I started on the 531, and that was legitimately and this is kind of right in the first year when I started coaching. This was still in the beginning of the first year when I started coaching. So at the time, I was giving, I bought into someone else's program, and it was a book. And if you look for Jim Wendler's 531 method, which I highly recommend for anyone who maybe doesn't have the money for a coach or that can kind of write to their specific areas of need and whatever they want to do, I would strongly suggest that book. It's a really good book to start off with. Anyways. I did the 531, and literally in 6 months, I saw more progress than I had seen my entire life. And we're talking like I started lifting weights on a regular basis going into my ninth grade year in summer weight training for football. So, and this is when I'm probably 25 when I'm doing when there's 5-3-1, maybe 27 even. So we're talking 10 years or more that I just saw no freaking progress, barely any progress. And that book was great. I saw a ton of progress. After 5-3-1, or while I was in the middle of 5-3-1, or I was probably six months in, I started working at a gym that had a CrossFit affiliate. And I had already been doing on my off days, I was following the CrossFit's main site workout, which back in the day, CrossFit's main site workout was the shit. Like, they had a video. They would always have a video attached to the workout of the day. And not like a professional shot video that has somebody, you know, just kind of going through the movements at baby weights. No, they recorded people. They would have someone from CrossFit's media department. They would go out to different gyms and they would have them, they would record like the classes doing it. And you'd see people just grind through it. And that was so motivational. I remember the night before always checking main site's workout and seeing it and thinking, and again, I was on the Wendler 5-3-1. I was liking it, but it was getting a little stale. So I was looking to mix in something else. Again, I'm not going to deny it. I was a serial program hopper and I was still always looking for the next best thing. And the CrossFit stuff like really kind of turned me to thinking more about technique and stuff like that, because again, I didn't want to get hurt. So I'm at this gym where I'm doing main sites workout every once in a while. Well, when I joined this gym, or not joined, but when I started working at this gym, they had a CrossFit affiliate. This is the first time I'd ever actually stepped foot in a CrossFit affiliate. And so that's when I started doing CrossFit, and that's when I started learning about technique. And I'm thinking about, you know, when there's 5-3-1, and you know, shit, man. Like I was trying to PR, you know, on a, I think it was, I believe it's every 4 weeks you test, or every 5 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. It's been a while since I've done it. So you test, and I'm sitting here thinking, man, like I still don't have the technique thing down. So CrossFit, started doing that, and only that. Once I got to, and I know I'm kind of all over the place here, but one of my goals when I was doing 5-3-1 is I wanted to be able to do 225 on the bench press. And I got to 225, and then 225 was no longer really that big of a deal to me. It was like kind of routine. So I wanted to be able to do my goal, and again, bench press, total meathead back then, only work in the glory muscles. I wanted to be able to bench 225 for 10 reps. So I did that right as I was kind of starting to do the CrossFit thing at that affiliate. And that's where I met like some really good friends of mine at that gym for CrossFit. Still really good friends with them. I just started doing CrossFit. And that's when I started looking at like technique. And I got my L1 at that time as, you know, I was coaching. I was not planning on doing the, I didn't have the intention of coaching CrossFit, although I was into it. But I got a lot more into it then. And so I just had been kind of following CrossFit ever since for the most part. I've worked at CrossFit affiliates for the last, two different CrossFit affiliates for the last 6 years. I believe it's been 6 years already, damn. Yeah, so the last 6 years. And I've had the opportunity to program for the current affiliate that I work at part-time, where, like I said, I've written the programming there for the last 3+ years. And that's been... it's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot. There's one thing that I've learned from programming. It's that, you know, well, there's more than one thing, but the two things I would say, two takeaways I have in programming is number one, I learned to eventually, it was worth taking risks on certain things. If going against the grain is what CrossFit has been, you know, known for, and trying different things out, and there's no guarantee, or there's no wrong way really to do sets and reps. And people have this thought that, you know, if you're going to attempt a PR, you have to make sure that you don't do your conditioning first. Well, I think CrossFit has debunked that. there's so many things that, so many theories that in just traditional training that CrossFit has really kind of debunked and proven to be false. So I learned that it's okay to try things, and it's okay to, if they don't work out. And with that said, I've experimented with some programming that has worked out and gone really well. And there's certain things that didn't go well, and that's totally fine. That's part of growing. And the other thing that I'll say, or that I learned, is that even though, and this is something I used to be so gung-ho on, like I'd write out a cycle, it'd be 8, 12, 16 weeks. And I get so pissed off if people would try to go for a PR and we're 2 weeks away from testing. Well, one thing, the thing that I learned about that is you can't know for certain that on the day that you're going to test your one rep max, that you're going to be feeling 100%. You may end up sleeping like shit. You may end up not being able to eat because your work is crazy, and now you're at a suboptimal, performance mindset. You're tired, you're hungry, and you're thinking to yourself, there's no way I'm going to PR. So I tell my clients that if you feel good, then go for it, because you can't predict those days that you're going to PR. It might be 2 weeks earlier in a cycle. It might be, 4 weeks earlier. Who knows? You may be peaking at different times. As much as I'd like to say that you can predict when that's going to happen, you just can't predict it. So those are the CrossFit days of programming. And I don't believe that it's for everyone. Now, if you look at CrossFit's main site, which they've remained consistent forever, they have one thing. It's always been one piece. And that is a great format for fathers out there who are looking to gain, strength, or they want a program that focuses on strength and conditioning and, range of motion, all the good things. Now, I personally think that the 3 days on, 2 days off, if you're really pushing at like a red line pace and you're really, maximizing the days for your strength days, and there's a lot of gymnastic stuff that are really difficult and not everyone has those pieces of equipment, that makes it less optimal. Now, if you work out at an affiliate or you're working out at a gym that has a lot of things that are in a CrossFit affiliate, then more power to you. But what I've found to be most beneficial, at least from the fathers that I've worked with, is because not everyone has a sweet home gym, right? I mean, my wife and I were very fortunate that we've been able to piece together this home gym. We've got a lot. We have a lot of things that we can use, so we can get pretty creative. We don't have to be too creative, I should say. We're very fortunate. But that being said, a home gym is fantastic. And if you're looking to piece together a home gym, scour Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist. Literally, I would say, I'm actually out at my gym right now. So you're probably picking up that weird noise. My wife is working from home, so I'm doing this podcast out in the garage gym right now. But I would say at least 50% of the things I have in my garage gym are used and stuff that I found on Facebook or Craigslist. And I've got them at a stupid good price. Like, if you check on a daily basis, there'll be things that pop up that are really, really cheap, and you got to jump on them right away. Like, you just can't think about it because people recognize that in the health and fitness world. They see a good deal, and they do not pass it up. So if you're putting together a home gym, check those things out. And if you're looking for pieces of equipment for a home gym, I would start off with dumbbells. Like, get dumbbells starting from 10 to 50 pounds. And the interchangeable ones are great too. You can spend, anywhere from, I've seen some that are like $120 to $200. The $300. If you get like the Bowflex ones, you can get them for like $300. And that's just too expensive in my opinion. I have dumbbells, I've set of 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. And they're not like the nice rubber coated dumbbells. They're the old school steel They're like the old school, you know, they don't have any rubber coating. They just look, they look like a you know, a dumbbell that you'd see like at a gym with nothing but concrete floors. But weight is weight, in my opinion. And I got them for that set from 20 pounds to 50 pounds for $110, which is super, super cheap. So if you look for them, you'll find them. And that's where I would say to start is get dumbbells. And then if you can get, like I have a Schwinn Airdyne. I don't have like the fanciest Elk bike or the Rogue Echo bike. I got my Schwinn Airdyne on Craigslist for under $200. And guess what? You can make that hurt as bad as an assault bike and or a Rogue Echo bike. You just have to push yourself hard enough on it. So those would be my two pieces of equipment that I would look for first in a garage or a home gym. So I know we're all over the place today, and I apologize for that, but I get excited when we talk about training and garage gyms and stuff like that. So sorry, I had to take a sip of water here. So let's talk training and the most effective training that you can do. As a father, you got a crazy, crazy schedule. I mean, you got your job, you have your family, and you have to balance health and fitness in there. And 99.9% of the time that I talk to fathers, it's the workout that's going to be thrown into the trash first. They're just going to not do it. And that's because, for the most part, it's because of a lack of discipline and not being willing to maybe sacrifice a half hour of sleep to get out and train. But the other part is you're probably just following a program that doesn't fit your lifestyle and fit what you have available to you and the time that you are willing to dedicate to it. I've probably said this so many times on my podcast, but I don't remember because I'm between the podcast and all the posts I do on social media, it all kind of blends together. But I'll say it again because I mean, this is something that I stand behind. Like, I mean, I stand by this statement more than any other thing I'll talk about training. And that is that if you train 30 minutes every single day, you are going to reach whatever, you can reach any of your fitness related goals. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have a six pack, you're going to have six pack abs and that you're going to look like fucking Thor from the movies, but that's going to come from nutrition. But training wise, like if you want to get stronger, if you want to get in better shape, if you're working out 30 minutes a day and you focus specifically on certain things that, you know, you blend it up, you have variety and you have a program that's tailored to what you have available to you and where you're at and where you want to go, there really is, you know, no downside, or there's absolutely no reason why you won't be able to see progress. It just comes down to being able to stick to that 30 minutes a day and again, having it customized to you. So let's just walk through a day or a week for me, because that's pretty much, other than a couple days a week when I'm coaching at the gym, when I've got more time to train, I'm training from home. Like 2/3 of my training sessions happen at home. Actually more than that. So let's go through like a day of training me. And I understand that everybody is different. Everyone they recover different. But training program for me would be, or for my, just a glimpse of like a week of what mine looks like. You know, I've got Mondays where I'm training at the gym I work at. And, that's where I'm generally doing the workout that I write for the class. I enjoy doing those workouts. I enjoy the CrossFit workouts. So I do those. I do that workout on Monday. On Tuesday, I generally am pretty sore and I don't recover super well. So what I do is on Tuesday, I'll do not a low heart rate, but active recovery day, I would say. So I'm getting my heart rate up a little bit. I'm sweating. That could be, so for example, today, what I did is I got on the assault bike and I did 10 minutes just with no handles, nice and easy pace at like 40 RPMs. And then for the next 20 minutes, I cycled every minute on the minute. at 40 RPMs, then the next minute at 50 RPMs, and then the next minute at 60 RPMs. And then I go back down to 40, then 50, then 60, then 40, then 50, then 60, all the way up to the 30 minute mark. And I felt great afterwards. I got the blood going. I got, you know, my legs are pretty sore from yesterday doing squat cleans. So my legs are pretty cooked. CNS pretty cooked. So to do that is really nice. And I got 30 minutes of training in. Last week, what I did was I cycled every minute on the minute between, I think I posted it on social media, but I cycled every minute on the minute for 30 minutes between ski erg. I don't know the exact order, but it was like ski erg, push-ups, assault bike, kettlebell swings, and like ring toe to bar. And that was, toe to the ring. So similar to a toe to the bar, except it was to the rings and there was no kipping. And that one, I was feeling I was feeling pretty decent on the day, better than I normally do on Tuesdays. So I went and I did a little more, but like, you know, you could do anything from literally just walking 30 minutes. And then on Wednesdays, again, I'm coaching again at that gym for a couple classes. So I'll do that workout of the day, or if I really want to, I try to get up early, depending on where I'm at with client stuff. I get up in the mornings at like 5:15, and on Wednesdays I try to get in the habit of getting my workout done in the morning, because I generally have I have phone calls and meetings between 2 and 4, and I coach from 4 to 7. So I get my workout done in the morning, and that looks like your classic pump session where I'm doing upper body, chest, back, biceps, tries, all that good stuff. And it's like 30 minutes, 30, 45 minutes. I'm alternating every minute on the minute, or I'm doing like every 5 minutes, I'll do bench press, strict pull-ups, and a couple other strength accessory movements. And I'll just cycle through those, get a really good feel, like really good pump going, feeling really, you know, feel good. I'm not sweating, but I get that same type of muscle fatigue that I would get in a CrossFit style workout, which we like, which, by the way, muscle fatigue, that's just a non-douchey way of saying pump. So, I mean, if you don't appreciate a solid pump, then get the fuck out of here. I mean, we can't be friends. I mean, get out of here. That's an instant testosterone booster. So get out of here. If you don't like that pump. So Thursdays is like Tuesday, where it's more of an active recovery day. If I'm feeling pretty good, I'm not too sore, I'll probably do like a 30 minute, a 30 minute CrossFit workout where maybe it's an AMRAP, but I'm moving at a solid pace, like not like a death red line pace. And then Friday, I'll do like a low body strength accessory where I'm doing squats. I'm cycling between like a squat front, back, overhead, or I'm doing single leg squats, box step ups, all that stuff. And then I'm just focusing on lower body, and I might hit a conditioning piece, where I'm doing like half of it is my strength and half of it is the conditioning piece. So that's kind of a glimpse of what Monday through Friday looks like. Saturday and Sunday, because the weekends I'm really trying to, you know, spend the most time with my family. I mean, it's literally like, okay, I'm going to do, what can I do? Whole body 30 minutes, or I'm just walking or going through a running intervals, or I'm rowing 30 minutes. I'm cycling between my treadmill, my bike, my row. I like doing that, like 10 minutes of each. Or I'm just lunging in place for 30 minutes, getting you know, my legs flushed out. Really, it's just being able to be consistent on a daily basis for a minimum of 30 minutes is what keeps you in that groove. And taking a day off, in my opinion, like, you can take a day off if you're absolutely fried. Like, I'm not going to ever tell you not to take a day off, but what I find to be the easiest way to stay consistent and to never get out of that groove is to train every single day for 30 days, or sorry, for 30 minutes, even if training means going for a walk. I mean, just be consistent, do something, get your heart rate elevated higher than what it would be if you're just sitting on a couch for 30 minutes. That's going to make it so much easier for you to be consistent with it. And, you know, the other thing is, if your goal is to get stronger, or, you know, run a faster 5K, track your progress. For example, for strength, if you're doing 5 sets of, you know, 5 at 100 pounds or whatever on strict press. Record your weight in total. So add every rep up from each set and go heavier than that next time. Or, you know, whether you're doing the same reps or you're doing less or reps or more reps, less sets, more, or sorry, less reps, more sets, track your weight. Make sure that you're increasing your total volume on every single time you train, whatever that, that movement is, whether it's back squats, bench press, deadlift, cleans, weighted pull-ups, weighted push-ups, all those things. Like, always track your progress, because how else are you going to know where the holes are at in your program? That's one thing. That was the biggest takeaway that I had from the first program I followed when I was talking about 5-3-1 is tracking your progress. So otherwise you have no idea. If in terms of conditioning, if you want to run a 5K, like track your times on your intervals. If you're running an I strongly suggest doing interval based stuff on your 5K. Like, yeah, you could run a 5K every day, but how boring is that? I mean, come on. You can do intervals with distances with your running on a treadmill, whatever, and you're tracking your time finished. You can decrease your rest time so that you're getting used to working at a higher heart rate. You can increase your rest time so that you can have more output on each one of the intervals of your running. There's just so many ways to really just make your programming diverse and change it up so that you're engaged. And the big thing is that if you're not willing to track your progress, then how are you going to know, you know, like I said, where the holes are? And if you're not willing to track your progress, but you want to see progress and you want someone to track progress, then hire a coach. I mean, one thing I do with all my clients, I track their progress on a daily basis. I go through True Coach with my clients. So everything that they're doing, I get to see exactly, you know, how they did every single time they finished their workout, the weights they did. So I'm always able to make sure that we're always moving forward, because I mean, unless you're just in it for general health and wellness and you're looking for that outlet, I mean, I personally like to track progress. I think it's important because people, ultimately, we've got goals. We want to see some change, especially if we're investing money into it. Like, you want to make sure that you're seeing change, and you could see change emotionally, you could see change physically, mentally. All those things are going to happen, but why not have some, you know, see the progress made in the numbers too? I mean, you don't have to be obsessive over it, but I think it's important that you're still tracking the progress. So in terms of, you know, where to find free online programming, understand online programming is made for the general population. It may be labeled workouts for strong dads, or, you know, like mine's Fit Father. It may be labeled that, but understand it's not made to help you as an individual. It's not going to meet you, you know, where you're at and what you're capable of doing. And it also doesn't have, you know, the scaling options. Scaling meaning, you know, if I write you a workout that has pull-ups, but you're unable to do a pull-up, like, what do? You need to have scaling options. What can you do instead? What can you do that is going to work the same muscle groups, basically do the same exact thing, but it, you know, it's going to be something different, like ring rows, or if you've got a squat rack and you've got a barbell, you can do inverted rows instead of pull-ups. There's just so many different scaling options, and that's the other importance of having a program that's written for you, and understanding that most, like 99% of the programs that are out there online, whether they're free or they're paid for, you're not working with a coach that is going to be working with you individually. It's written and distributed to anyone and everyone who has the money to buy it. So, not saying they're not good out there. There's not a lot of good online programs. There's a lot of really good free online programs, but having, like I said, a coach that is going to understand and is going to work with you is always going to be the better option. So if you're looking at, you know, where is your progress? Are you making any progress? If you haven't made any progress, then start looking at your workouts. If you're recording them, start recording them. If you don't have the time to record them, I understand. That's why I have clients of mine because they don't want to spend any more time, any of the free time they have, researching what workouts are great for them. Ultimately, probably finding the best thing for them as a coach, and then they decide to try to take it in their own hands, and you see very minimal progress. So don't do what I did for years, even though I wasn't a parent, but don't do what I did for years and just start following random programs and jump from program to program, because you're never going to see progress. You're not going to maximize the progress you can make. So that was a long podcast. It was way longer. Like I said, I get excited about talking about programming, and I also have I don't write the structure of these podcasts out, so it's going to probably drive some people nuts. Some people probably aren't going to care, because there's some good stuff here. There's some nuggets that you guys can take home with you. And if you guys did enjoy this program, or this program, I'm stuck on programming, can you tell? If you guys did enjoy this podcast, share it with a friend. Share it with a father that would love to hear it and could use some advice on exercise programming. The next podcast we'll do, I have intended to discuss some nutrition. I don't believe that you need a nutrition expert, per se, to tell you exactly what you need to eat. Nutrition experts are really, they're necessary. And for people that need a higher level of accountability, not necessarily accountability, but just a higher level of prescribed macronutrients and really kind of the people that are really advanced clients that are already into tracking. But most people, like us, for example, our fathers, having an understanding of what, really simplifying it to giving you a nutrition program that is not going to make you a slave to your scale, and it's not going to make you, a slave to MyFitnessPal is huge. That's one big thing that I think has changed since I became a father, is I stopped using MyFitPal at least on a daily basis, because I've got more important things to do. And at this point, because I've tracked in the past so much and I understand a lot about nutrition and what it does and what's necessary about it, that I've simplified it enough to where I can continue to make progress, aesthetically and health-wise, without having to scan in every single barcode and record every single thing. It's just ends up being a lot of time at the end of the day, and time is, your most valuable asset. So I don't want to waste a whole lot of time being a slave to MyFitnessPal and tracking my macros. But that's for the next podcast. This one's 37 minutes long. Holy shit. A lot longer than what we've normally been. But I hope you guys enjoy this one. Like I said, if you did, share it with a father, share it with a friend that could benefit from learning something from this podcast. And if you would be so kind to share it on your Facebook page, that would be even better. Maybe not better, but I'd appreciate it. If you want to find me on Facebook, you can find me at Joe Jungman. You'll see a picture of me and my daughter Charlie on the profile page, and then there's more than one of us. Joe Jungman, does that mean? In front of a pine tree. I got a flannel on. I look like a damn lumberjack in the picture. So on Instagram, you can find me at J.A. Jungman, J-U-N-G-M-A-N-N. On Fridays, every Friday, I post a Fit Father workout that can be done in 10 minutes or less. Most of the stuff is very minimal equipment that you guys can do from home. And I also have a lot of good tips on there. And if you're interested in my coaching services, you can follow the link on that, on either one of those pages, either my Facebook page, preferably the Instagram page, because it's a lot easier to find. Click the link and follow that to the Fit Father program. It will have you fill out a short form. Just give me a little background about you, and it sets us up for a follow-up call where we can discuss whether or not we're a good fit, and I can tell you more about the program that I provide for my clients. Thanks again for listening, guys. We will talk to you next week. Hope you guys have an awesome week, and take care.